Welcome to Coping to Care, expert tips for complete well-being. Our host, Francine Marlinet, has partnered with Blue Sea Care to provide seniors and their families with advice for their physical, mental, and emotional well-being.
Hello, I'm Francine, host of Coping to Care, sponsored by Blue Sea Care, where we feature guests who share how you can achieve complete well-being. Today, we'd like to welcome licensed acupuncturist and holistic medicine specialist, Carlo St. Just, who practices in Los Angeles, and he now even offers telehealth treatments. Today, Carlo will give us some daily tips on how to help you build your immune system and heal both mind and body. Welcome, Carlo.
Hi, Fran. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, so now that acupuncture is more mainstream and even covered by our health insurance because of its effectiveness in boosting the immune function by promoting the release of white blood cells, can you tell us about how it all works?
That is a very good question. And I do receive that question often. You know, we are still trying to understand the mechanisms behind acupuncture, but really, in a nutshell, what we're doing is when we insert a needle, we're trying to help promote blood flow, we're trying to help promote balance, we're trying to help improve the circulation, and we're trying to help patients get better.
So it has an anti-inflammatory effect and induces the relaxation response. Can you provide examples of how this works? I know that you help your mom. So how do you help your mom? I know that your mom is elderly, but she's in great shape. So how do you help your mother as an example?
Yes. If anything, I do treat my mother with acupuncture. I'm not her sole provider in healthcare. There's a saying that you don't treat your parents or your close ones there. But, you know, if anything, with some of her condition, with some of her issues, inflammation is a key characteristic. What acupuncture does is that it primarily and specifically targets the mechanisms which cause inflammation and helps the body to get back into a state of homeostasis, meaning a state of balance, right? So why is this important? Because I want to let your listeners know that what is inflammation, right? Let's look at what inflammation is. It's the body's response to an injury. Right? So when that occurs, there's vasoconstriction and vasodilation, meaning the blood cells, right, constrict, the blood vessels constrict, and they open up, right, like this. And what that does is it allows the body to start the healing process, right? Inflammation is not a bad thing. It's actually part of our response to heal. But what happens is it's this continuous inflammatory response that attacks us, that hurts us.
Okay. Can you give a specific example of how a person who doesn't have access to a doctor right now, but they have certain pains? And I think later on, we're going to talk a little bit more about acupressure finding your chi and how to control that. Can you explain about finding your chi, or is it chai? Is it chai or chi?
You know, these are all good questions. And, you know, this is why we are going to learn, right? We're going to get into the depths of this, right? Chi, the correct pronunciation is chi. So I do apologize there. It is spelled chi in English, right? In Mandarin, it's spelled qi. So sometimes you may see, you know, qi or chi. It both means the same thing. What is chi? Chi means life energy, right? Or vital life energy force. It is a unit of measurement in traditional Chinese medicine. It is a theory that we use as acupuncturists in order to understand the energy in the body. Now, over the last 30 years, researchers have concluded, maybe even speculated, right, that, okay, there is no chi in the body. There is nothing that chi can represent. We have not been able to find a substance called chi, right? We have blood, we have lymph fluid, we have heart, we have kidneys, but we don't have any kind of organ called chi. And really, it's not a specific body part, but it's really more describing a process in the body, right? We have different types of chi. We have different types of energy. You have a happy chi. You have a sad chi. You have an angry chi, right? Maybe you can't measure it physically, but we all know what happens when you get happy, right? It's emotions, hormones, all these emotions that come up, anger, sadness. So really that's what chi is. And I think it's important to understand because sometimes, you know, we've been having this argument for the last 30 years, right? 40 years. And for people to understand, finally, you know, we're looking at it and saying, okay, we know what chi is. Does that make sense?
Yeah, chi is basically balance. So through exercise and through breath work, for example, I know to help you sleep, there's a certain kind of practice that you use. Can you talk about simply what do you do to help yourself sleep through breathing techniques?
So with that, sleep is an important aspect that I treat clinically. We have theories about it in our medicine. It is something that affects majority of Americans, right? I talk to a lot of people who have sleeping issues, right? Everybody has sleeping issues. The exercises are designed in order to help people reduce their stress, induce this state of calmness. Why do we go to sleep? Right? We go to sleep because the melatonin in our body is produced. It helps us to feel sleepy, and then we can go to sleep. And we maintain this circadian rhythm, right? We maintain this rhythm of going to sleep and waking up when the sun rises, right? And why can't I go to sleep when it's time to go to sleep? So with that, we have tools, right? We have tools as acupuncturists in order to deal with these issues. You have acupuncture as a medicine, which is the insertion of the needles. You can do meditation, and that requires a little bit of practice. Meditation doesn't have to have any kind of religious connotation to it. It doesn't have to have any kind of attachment. Really, all it is slowing down your mind, calming down your breathing, and creating the state of awareness. And when you can implement certain activities like this, you'll find that you'll be able to sleep better and it works out better for most patients.
Okay. Yeah. As an example, what I do, you know, I learned how to breathe because it turns out I didn't know how to breathe correctly. And when I can't sleep, I'll breathe and then I'll hold it and then I'll release it. And I'll do that about 10 times. And after about 10 times, I'm gone. I'm sleeping. So the breathing really does help for me. I know that you're into Tai Chi, and I know that that helps relieve stress, and that's got the word chi in it, and it does help with balance. And I know that you and your daughter and your fiance or soon to be wife there, you were doing Tai Chi yesterday. So tell me all about that.
Yes. you know, Tai Chi is once it's, let me start over here. You look at all the tools we have as acupuncturists, what is in our scope of practice, Tai Chi is one of those exercises. So we teach individuals Tai Chi in order for them to learn how to be more relaxed. It's a form of self-defense, right? So you can learn how to protect yourself at the same time. But the science, the data behind why does Tai Chi work and what's going on and why is it effective is ever emerging, is constantly emerging, and is solid. Is solid. And I think meditation and Tai Chi has gathered the attention of the scientific community. because, you know, and with that, when I deal with a lot of scientists, a lot of people who are mathematically trained, trained in the biosciences, chemistry, things of that nature, right? I'm coming from the holistic perspective, even though I do have a background in the basic sciences, right? But with that, there's a big interest in Tai Chi. There's a big interest in meditation because it helps, especially individuals who are a little bit more in the on the cerebral aspect, right? Thinking. We have a overthinking society, right? And you can help with that.
Well, as far as Tai Chi, like if I was going to sit here and do Tai Chi, what are some moves, like stretching above your head? Is that Tai Chi? What is a Tai Chi movement, as an example, that you can do every day?
So first thing I would suggest is learning just the basics of what Tai Chi is. Right? Tai Chi, unfortunately, because of what we're going through now with the pandemic and things of that nature, I always tell patients, all you need is one Tai Chi class. All you need is one Tai Chi class so you can get the feeling. And then afterwards, if you wanted to learn on a video or over the internet or whatever the case may be, that is perfectly fine. There are certain aspects of Tai Chi that you need someone to point out, right? But we can actually do that right now, right? We can do that via Skype, right? And it's not necessarily a movement in terms of moving the arms or the legs, but rather a feeling, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to the sinking feeling within us, right? So what I'd like for you to do is bring your mind down to your belly button, right? Bring your thinking down to your belly button, right? Bring it down even lower, right? 1 inch below your belly button, right? I want you to breathe into this area, and I want you to bring your mind into this area, and I want you to relax your shoulders. Okay. Now, with that, last aspect is we're going to be fully alert. Yeah. So, as you can see, I'm speaking with you, but I am engaged. My mind is actually focused in that area. I'm breathing in that area and my shoulders are relaxed. You know, myself, I can feel the difference, right? This is something
that's cool. Very cool. I like that. And hey, maybe you should be teaching a Tai Chi class to our seniors. Or maybe we could talk about that later.
We'd love to. We'd love to. I've been invited by by USC on two separate occasions. USC Keck School of Medicine. I've done workshops for their early stage Parkinson's group, and I've also done a workshop for their pain management group, a pain management group ran by a couple nurses at the facility. So, you know, I've had experience working with schools and organizations and local government in order to do Tai Chi classes, in order to promote mind-body health exercises. I think it's very important.
Great. I loved seeing Esperanza doing her little, she's 3 years old and she was doing her Tai Chi practices yesterday. That was really cute, very adorable. So moving on, you know, we've talked about acupuncture where they use the needles. Now, what about acupressure? How many acupressure points are there, and how does applying pressure on these acupuncture points help? I know there's one that you press on your finger or your thumb somewhere, and that does something. So if you could go into that a little bit, I'd very much appreciate it.
Yeah, I'd love to elaborate. If anything, this point here, the point that you're pressing on, we call that point LI4. Right. And I use this point here because it's very popular. I wish, let me see if I can show you with my hand here, right there. It's a very popular point. Everyone, right? Most people will have used that point for maybe just tension or a headache or something of that nature. Right. Acupressure and acupuncture points are the same. There's about 361 points in the body. And wow. They both utilize the same. We study all the points, right? As a practitioner, I may not use all those points, right? You're not going to get 360 points on a treatment. But, we can stimulate. And, you know, that's another aspect I think is very important. The fear of needles is real. There are people who are scared to death of needles, right? And,
I've fainted before.
Right? It's very common. And, you know, it takes one to know one, right? And I'll tell you, as a practitioner and as someone who's been a patient and as someone who's had a fear of hypodermic needles, right, the needles that actually inject, right, or they're taking out fluids, acupuncture needles, I call them friendly needles, right?
Yeah, because they're very thin. They're very thin. And I've done acupuncture before for migraines, and they're very relaxing, and they're nice. They're nice. So I'm not afraid of acupuncture needles, just by the way.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, you know, if anything, I think, you know, if we can address these issues, you know, the quicker it will be for us to get treatment. You know, one thing that really I try to avoid, or one situation that makes me mad, but whenever I speak to patients and introduce them to acupuncture treatment, it is so vital that patients are receiving the best care, period, because a lot of times you're not, one acupuncture treatment is just a start. A lot of people don't realize that acupuncture is a therapy. You're going to need multiple treatments. And so if let's say you try out acupuncture for one time, or maybe you have a fear, or there's a certain number of reasons and it pushes you away from the treatment, that's such a bad loss, right? That is such a significant loss, because you're losing a potential treatment that can help you for the rest of your life, right? And it may be due to whatever the case may be, even practitioner error. I see patients, if a patient comes into my office, you know, I ask them, I don't care if you've seen another acupuncturist, right? That's okay. I want to see what's going on. So most patients, by the time they've reached an acupuncturist, at least here in the United States, they've already been through the rounds in terms of seeking care and gathering treatment and getting treatment and receiving treatment and finding out that maybe that treatment isn't as effective as they thought. It's not working. So then they go back to their doctor and they're at a point of frustration, right? They're at a point where they are tired, right? You've been to 6 doctors, you've been to 7 doctors, and nobody has an answer. You know, how would that make you feel? And so that's where, you know, that's, you know, for me, dealing with patients, I totally understand where you're coming from. I try to let every patient know, hey, you know, it's a real problem. And that's why we need acupuncture in our society, because as acupuncturists, we can really help get to the root of the issue, right?
Right, right. Sometimes traditional doesn't work. And then people, in their desperation, they actually go to holistic and they realize, oh, wow, this was the answer all along. So I know that acupuncture is an in-office thing, but right now, with people not being able to get out, I was hoping that you could just talk about acupressure points. You know, explain it verbally, because some of this may just be audio, and so people won't be able to see. Three things, like acupressure point to relax, acupressure point for energy, and then acupressure point for pain. Could you share with us how to do that for seniors? You know, something simple, relax, energy, pain, 3 points. Or maybe there's going to be more, but could you explain that to us?
Yeah. So for the first point, for pain, let's start off this way. For pain, we're going to press between our thumb and index finger. And you can just massage that area lightly. It can be anywhere between your thumb and index finger. That is A-OK. If for some reason it's hard to access that area, or let's say you have some issues going on, you can press on the base of your thumb, right? Just press all along the inside of your thumb. For energy, there's a couple things you can do. For energy, you don't even need to do acupressure. I'm going to share a technique right now that has been very effective, and I'll put it out there. One, it's not researched back. Okay, I'm working on doing the research right now and doing the studies and things of that nature. It's right now, it's just being it's a hypothesis, right? A hypothesis is something that needs to be tested. So, you know, but clinically, I learned it from a clinician that I studied under, and clinically I use it with patients, and I've used it on myself. And percentage wise, I mean, I would say from my own personal opinion, it has a 90% effective rate, right? But because it's not tested, right? We want to, you know, once again, being a practitioner, especially here in this day and age, I'm very up to date when it comes down to how we should practice, how to give people the right information. I think in an age of information, one of the best things you can do is give people the right information. So with that, what we want to do,
tell me, I want to know, how do I get my energy?
So what we want to do, right, this is not an acupressure technique. Whenever, wherever you're sitting, just move your big toes.
Oh, okay.
Just move your big toes on both feet. The other four toes can just hang out. They're not doing anything. Your big toe, you want to just up and down. You don't have to do it forcefully. Just do it two or three times.
So and that's kind of like reflex. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, definitely. There are some reflexology aspects to it, right? But what's the concept? I mean, I was thinking about this for years. Like, how does this work? Why do you get a boost of energy? Why do you, if there's lots of people who get that afternoon slump, right? You're just tired and you're just like, right? And you're at work. And so how do you get past these moments? How do you get, and just as a disclaimer here, it doesn't work as effective. It's not as effective if you haven't gotten the proper sleep, right? If you're working yourself to death and you're just living off of coffee, right? Like you have this, we're making an assumption that you're taking care of your basic needs, right? Which you should be, right? So for that, when we move our big toe, it helps us to get a burst of energy.
Okay, I've got more energy now. I've been moving my big toes, so I can see that. All right,
good.
Very good. Interesting, and it's interesting because my husband actually gave me a gift for Christmas a few years ago, and I've never even opened it, and I'm going to now. But it's got a little ball, and it's for your feet. A little exercise you can do with your toes and your feet. So, I think that you're definitely on to something here.
Blue Sea Care provides comprehensive care management to seniors and their families. Services include complete physical care for seniors who want to maintain their independence and state of health. The caregiving is combined with Art to Wellness, a program which uses the therapeutic benefits of the arts to assist with cognitive care for seniors. You can learn more about Blue Sea Care's programs at www.blueseacare.com.
I know it's all tied together. It's all about holistic and balance. So with all that comes diet. So how does diet play a part? Why is too much salt harmful, for example? What foods bolster immunity? I know there are so many different ones like citrus fruits and red bell peppers. So could you go into that a little bit, please?
Yes. Yes, most definitely. I'll tell you, Fran, I'm a big fan of berries, right? Blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries. Great for boosting the immune system. Great for boosting memory and improving the memory. Omega-3s, the polyunsaturated fats, the healthy fats, right, are good for the mind, good for the skin, good for the immune system. So my suggestion and what I tell patients for nutrition, and this is from my experience and, you know, and from someone who is not perfect, right? I want to say that everyone is working on something. I say nutrition is something we're constantly learning, right? You always want to learn about nutrition. And the reason I say that is because you tell someone, hey, what are some good foods, right? Or what can you eat to? I think most people know that they should eat their greens, that they should eat their vegetables, right? You tell someone, hey, how can I work on lowering my cholesterol and or helping? What are some foods that can help with your blood pressure? You know, try eating some greens, try eating some vegetables. Well, what else can I do? I think part of that is really becoming a student in nutrition. Learn about apples, learn about oranges, learn about why these fruits are more, you know, you see all these studies talking, looking at the chemical constituents of these fruits and vegetables we eat. Why? Because we're always learning. And so if you're constantly reminding yourself, you're just going to put yourself in the best position. So to help answer your question in terms of nutrition and diet, I'm all about nutrients over calories, right? So no matter what, you want to get at, you want to put inside your body as many nutrients as possible, many different color foods, as many different variety of foods. And what happens is the nutrients will help to negate the bad effects, right? Once again, you know, everyone is different and there's no guarantees, right? But what we've found is that individuals who eat better and have a better diet will have more likely less problems, less preventable diseases, diabetes, heart attack, stroke, all these issues that can be prevented, right?
Great. I know that I love avocados. I always keep a stash of avocados, and I know they have, it's the good fat. So that's my justification, because it's just wonderful. Now, probiotics. What about probiotics? I know the bacteria in your gut may affect your body's ability to fend off infections, and so eating food with good bacteria is key. And then I know that kombucha and kimchi are full of good stuff. And that if the doctor says it's okay, you can have a probiotic supplement.
So with that, I am still researching this subject. And I wish I had a more definitive answer for you. But what happened was, so I'm not against probiotics. I feel like they're definitely beneficial, right? There's a benefit for them. And in terms of trying to restore the microbiome of the gut and promoting digestion and things of that nature, I think is very useful, right? I did recently see a study in the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks. This is why I need to go back, because it's in my bag of things to research here, to go back and research. But the study pointed out that maybe probiotics aren't as effective as they're touted, right? In terms of long-term goals, in terms of long-term outcome, if they're trying to prevent patients from having issues. They use probiotics for patients with C. difficile or any kind of, you know, a lot of gastrointestinal disorders. So, you know, we want to make sure that what we're doing is effective in the end. And if there's a study that says maybe we should take a look at this, then I'm all for it. And the reason why is because, once again, I'm for probiotics, but it's not for everyone. people hear probiotics and then they automatically assume, okay, that's what I need. Like, a lot of people need them. As a practitioner, I'll tell you, if someone has what we call in traditional Chinese medicine, an acupuncture theory, they have something called dampness, which is represented in excess phlegm. You can see it in the tongue coating. There's other symptoms related to it. Fibromyalgia and diabetes fall under dampness in traditional Chinese medicine, right? If you're looking mm-hmm. at classifying disorders. So, mm-hmm. and it doesn't mean someone who has diabetes shouldn't take probiotics, but this is something you want to look at. Me personally, from what I've recommended clinically, I find ginger is actually very effective for regulating the digestive system.
Mm-hmm. Great. I love ginger. It's wonderful. So you don't drink the kombucha then, huh?
I do have kombucha. It is delicious.
Oh, okay. 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 And then what else? Is zinc something that we need in our body? Do we need to take zinc supplements, or do we get enough in what we eat if we eat a proper diet? Do you know anything about that?
Yes. Good questions. You know, I know sometimes, so there's two things. You can always get enough supplements through multivitamins if you're not getting it through the food. When someone says they have a deficiency of something, of a mineral, first you need lab tests, right? If your lab tests say that you're zinc deficient, then yes, I would recommend, taking a supplement. Zinc is also recommended when individuals have colds, right? And mm-hmm. I know there are physicians who prescribe that. I don't have the studies on hand or the data on hand to say, okay, that is effective or not. So I can't say with certainty that zinc will help. But it is one of those minerals that's important, right? Zinc along with magnesium, sometimes mm-hmm. are, and selenium, I find are usually ones that we can boost up a little bit more. Right. Mm-hmm. But, mm-hmm. you know, it comes down to balance. And mm-hmm. As a practitioner, you know, one thing I do want to point out, Fran, is that I work in different aspects. I work in the multidisciplinary setting as an acupuncturist. Mm-hmm. My background's in traditional Chinese medicine. I use what we call the five elemental theory of practice. That's a whole nother ball game. Right. But mm-hmm. my colleagues, I work with chiropractors. I share two offices with chiropractic colleagues, right? Completely mm-hmm. different systems of medicine. I love it when people sometimes group us, right? Or confuse us. There's a difference between the chiropractor and the acupuncturist, right?
Oh, right. Most definitely.
You know, and I also work for an orthopedic surgeon. I work with an orthopedic surgeon at Glendale Adventist. And so I treat their patient base, and it's in the outpatient setting, right? In the mm-hmm. private care setting. So, mm-hmm. you know, all of that to say that I'm very fair when it comes down to looking at things. I take a very impartial stance. Like I try mm-hmm. to see what works best for the patient. Mm-hmm. Acupuncture has garnered attention because it works very effective, not only in just pain management, but other aspects as well, and internal medicine, and it complements mm-hmm. very well. So okay. as a practitioner, I'm about what works best. If it's holistic, you know, and if it's integrative, if it's considered alternative medicine, I'm all for it if it's beneficial. And the same thing with, you know, on the biomed side of things. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. Now, so you probably work with a lot of cancer patients, because I understand that acupuncture is really, very good for cancer patients.
It is. And specifically, we treat chemotherapy side effects.
Right.
And that's important to point out, because, you know, as myself as a practitioner, you know, our goal is to always guide patients and guide them the best way possible. There are some patients, I treated a patient who refused chemotherapy, right? It refused the chemo because to treat the tumor naturally. And we actually, as acupuncturists, we all advised, this was when I was a student in the clinic, we all advised not to do that because the tumor is growing more rapidly, right? It's growing more rapid than we could treat. So it's the practicality of things. It's being reasonable. It's being honest with people. So that's why we have these laws. It's illegal for me to say, oh, we can treat cancer, because we can't, right?
Oh, right. No, it's the side effects. I should have mentioned the side effects, like nausea.
In nausea, and the reason I'm pointing it out is because it's all comprehensive. For every patient that I've spoken with, we've never had a problem with, their oncologist has never had a problem with acupuncture treatment. They've always encouraged it. It's I think that's one of the things in medicine that I always want to acknowledge, is the respect for the scope of practice. Everybody, we're all a team. Right. Mm-hmm. If there's one thing now in healthcare, is you have a healthcare team, whether it's a primary care physician or you have a specialist, or if you're going through chemotherapy, you have your oncologist, you have your support groups, and really just being a part of that.
Yeah. They all work together, for the balance. You're all helping each other. So, and it's our job to do all the right things, take our vitamins, D3. Make sure that we have the proper nutrition, and also drink a lot of water, right? Hydration is so key with seniors, because they keep forgetting to drink the water. Especially, you know, I remember my mom, that was the problem. She would, you know, too much water, too little water.
Well, one thing I do want to point out, Fran, is that I'm researching, I was reading this study, and it seems like the data is coming out there. And once it's more solidified, I want to push it out there as much as possible. But, you know, right now, the initial research shows that patients have better outcomes, better cancer outcomes, when they incorporate the acupuncture. You know what I'm saying?
I will totally believe it. Are improved
with this care. And it's like, if when you're in that situation, you want to utilize all the resources that you have available, all the resources that we can provide in order to provide care. So once that's a little bit more solidified, I want to push that and just add to the conversation.
Yeah, I think that's a very good idea. And I know that, you know, it all ties together, everything that we do and everything that we bring into our bodies. And then also things like essential oils. You were talking about how essential oils have a great effect. And I believe, I love my lavender. I love my tea tree oil. So can you talk a little bit about the essential oils?
Yes, I can. You know, if there's one thing that I want to point out, is that as acupuncturists, essential oils is not something that we study. Right? It's not something that's even brought it in school. For the newer students, maybe they're introduced to it, but it is one of the areas which I've put a lot of attention to over the last couple of years, and especially in terms of what's going on currently with the pandemic and this crisis, I think it's important to look at all alternatives, right? The data has shown certain oils to be effective at neutralizing viruses on surfaces. Certain oils such as peppermint, which we talked about before, peppermint, sage, cinnamon, clove, and we don't have any data on COVID-19 or the 2019 coronavirus, because it's so new. And that's also part of maybe where I'd like to see maybe the research go in terms of finding out more about these oils, because they have been shown to be effective as cleaning agents, or maybe as to help with muscle relaxation, to help with sleep, to help reduce anxiety and stress. Whatever the case may be, looking at now, we're starting to have the research to back that up.
Yeah. So even tea tree oil isn't that good as a disinfectant, because I've been putting like a little bit of tea tree oil and water and then spraying it on my mask just to have a nice smell.
So as far as a disinfectant or an antiseptic, it can be used for cuts and scrapes. It can be used for cleaning. It's the data shows it can be all three. It can be an antibacterial, antifungal, and antiviral, right? It can have all three of those properties. Now, with that, there's studies coming out for which oils work for which bacteria or whatnot. I only point that out because oil of oregano has kind of been touted. It's kind of gotten the worst of both ends. It's been touted as the miracle cure, right? For a miracle cure-all. And it's been touted as disbelief, as just a sham. And both sides are wrong, right? Both sides are wrong. Really, from the research that I've seen, is that it can help with certain types of bacteria. Maybe not as much as much of an antifungal property or antiviral, but you know, the whole thing is that we can't just throw everything out. Now, one expression, or sometimes what I hear when I bring up essential oils, people sometimes, you know, it's dismissive. Sometimes people hear oils and they automatically associate it with shamanism or some kind of anything different, or crystals, really? Or, you know, it's grouping all these things and just discarding it. And that's not right. You have to say, okay, this is good for this. Maybe, you know, for acupuncture, it's good. We are big proponents of research because we want to see what's effective and what's not as effective. So we can take out the elements that don't work and improve on the ones that do. But if you're dismissive of everything, you can't even have that conversation.
Right. In healthcare, it's all about innovation. We've got such a long way to go. So if you're not open for innovation, and I think that in healthcare, there have been so many things not done correctly that I think we're more open than ever to healthcare innovation. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Carlo. I just want to ask you one thing. Well, actually, two things. A quote that you live by, and then if you could share a little bit about your website, and then I think anything else you want to add would be great too.
Okay. As far as the quote, this is, I'm going to have to say author unknown on this one, actually got it from a motivational speaker that I listened to, and the quote is, just worry about the 3 feet around you. Right?
And I like that.
You know, with everything going on, it's so easy to get lost, right? And if you can put your focus back on your breathing, on yourself, on being relaxed, on being a happy person, on being aware, on anything within that can make you better. I think that phrase encompasses it all.
Just worry about the 3 feet around you. I like that. Good, good. And now, what is your website? What is your website again?
So you can find me at csjacupuncture.com. That's okay. Carlo, Sam, Justin. And, you know, what I tell patients, I'm in South Pasadena. I'm in Burbank. I'm still doing in-person clinical services. You can sign up and set appointments for telehealth services through my website. And also, if you're just looking for a practitioner, I know I can't treat everyone, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, right. So, but if you need a practitioner for a referral for someone in your area, I'm more than happy to find someone for you, refer you to someone. If you just want to talk, if you have any questions, I love talking to people. So, you know, right. If you need a second opinion, that's no problem. You can contact me through the website.
Wonderful. So it's csjacupuncture.com. Thank you so much, Carlos St. Just. Have a great day.
You too, Fran. Thank you.
Thank you.